Take our lesson from the book of Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter 7. Been good if we could have read the entire chapter. It's only a short 28 verses, but it takes a little bit to read. It's lengthy. We read a few verses a few moments ago. Brother Wesley did. I appreciate that. The burden of that text, that is the entire 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, shows that unlike the Levitical priesthood, Christ Jesus is high priest forever. Along with that change, of course, comes a change in the entire priesthood, as we read of in Hebrews 7 and in verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. The priesthood being changed, not just the high priest was changed, but the entire priesthood was changed. Jesus Christ having become high priest, but there are priests who minister under him. They are Christians. All Christians today serve and minister as priest in the temple of God, the house of God, the church of the living God. I thought it would be good for us tonight to compare the two priesthoods. Look at some things concerning Levitical priesthood and then look at some similarities concerning the priesthood under Christ. First of all, let's consider the selection of priests. The selection of priests under the Levitical priesthood. Priests under the law of Moses, of course, were chosen by God. God chose the priest. In Exodus 28, in verse 1, God speaking to Moses said, "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." So these are the priests. God chose them. It wasn't man who chose them. God chose them to serve. Numbers 18 in verse 7. To Aaron, God said, "Therefore you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." So priests under the law of Moses were God's chosen ones. In Christ, Christians today, those who are described as making up the priesthood of Christ are those who are called, of course, and also chosen by God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Christ Jesus." So we're chosen and called of God. Of course, we're called and chosen of God by or through the preaching of the Word. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 14, "To which he called you by our gospel," he said to the Thessalonians. All Christians are called and chosen by God to serve in the priesthood under Christ. In Christ, no man is a priest in and of himself. He must be called of God, just as under the Levitical priesthood. Thus, all Christians are priests in this dispensation. There is no Christian who is not a priest, and there is no priest who is not a Christian. A priest in the sense of the way the New Testament terms the word, not the way the people of the world term the word priest, but as it is used in the New Testament. We're all priests, children of God. Let's also look at the making ready of the priest. Making ready of the priest. Priests under the law of Moses were such at God's direction, as we noted in Exodus 28 in verse 1, "Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel." Where were these priests to come from? From among the children of Israel. But they were to be descendants of Aaron. That is, the priests under the high priest were to be descendants of Aaron. No one could take this honor upon himself. He had to be appointed and chosen by God, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5 and verse 4. No man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Now, under the Levitical priesthood, after God had chosen Aaron and his sons to serve as in the priesthood, There arose a problem among some of the Levites because they thought Moses and Aaron had taken too much responsibility on themselves. And we see the divine side of this God choosing certain ones to serve in his priesthood in Numbers chapter 16 and 17. If you're familiar with Korah's rebellion, that's what we often refer to it as, Korah and about three other individuals from the tribe of Levi stood opposed and in opposition to Aaron and Moses in regard to Aaron and his sons being chosen as part of the priesthood. And so those individuals rose up thinking that they could serve as priests as well. But it was not according to the divine will of God that they do that. But nonetheless, they rose up against Aaron and Moses. And of course, we have what's termed, as I said, Korah's rebellion. There were 250 individuals who took censers and put incense on them to burn the God as if they were going to serve as priests. But these four families that rose up against Aaron and Moses, God opened the ground up and swallowed them alive. Not only them, but their families and all their children and all their possessions. And the 250 priests, fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And in chapter 17 of the book of Numbers, God shows by taking a rod, that is a branch from each one of the families, putting it in the tabernacle and letting it bud, and the branch that budded would be the one whom God chose, and Aaron's rod budded, and it was stored up, and then in the ark as a reminder of that. So, priest under the law of Moses, God did the choosing, he did the appointing. It wasn't man's decision. Man could not take that honor upon himself. Furthermore, in addition to being of the proper family, that is, of a Levite family and of the family of Aaron, these also had to be clean and purified, sanctified in the sight of God. Exodus 29 and verse 1. And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them for ministering to me as priest. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle meeting, and you shall wash them. Purify their flesh. It was a ceremonial washing before they would put on proper attire to serve in the priesthood. But they were being sanctified, consecrated, and set apart to the service of God. Exodus 29 and verse 19. You shall also take the other ram and Aaron and his sons and put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot and sprinkle the blood all on the altar. Why? Because blood sanctifies and consecrates. Children of God are sanctified and consecrated to God today. The priesthood had to be sanctified and consecrated to God as well under the law of Moses. Exodus 29 and verse 12 continuing, and you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed or consecrated or sanctified, set apart to God, and he and his sons' garments with him. Thus they were purified and set apart for the Lord in this prescribed manner. So God had a particular manner in which they would be sanctified and consecrated to the service of God in their priesthood. And so it is in Christ, as all Christians are priests, and not only called of God, but they're also purified in a prescribed manner, just as God has dictated. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, that is, perishable things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the priesthood under the law of Moses were sanctified or consecrated by the blood of animals. We are sanctified, consecrated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet one is to be cleansed and also purify himself as well. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That takes place, of course, in baptism. Baptism is when we're washed, remember. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, the Corinthians were washed. They were sanctified and then justified, that is pronounced righteous in the sight of God. And so when we as Christians, as priests, are sanctified, we're washed. We're washed in baptism. Our sins are washed away. Romans 6 and in verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Of course, the priests under the law of Moses were sanctified by the blood of animals, but again, we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 and verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Just before that, at the end of verse 5, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When that happened, we became a kingdom of priests to our God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we all ought to be able to tell if we're priests or not. Have we undergone a process of purification or sanctification by the blood of Christ? If we've been baptized for the remission of our sins, we have. If you have not, you're not a priest. You're not a priest under the priesthood of Christ. Amen. Being a priest is an honor. You simply cannot take it to yourself. You must be called by God. It is an honor. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood, a priesthood worthy of kingship, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's now consider the services of the priest. The services of the priest. Priests under the law of Moses were charged, of course, with services in the tabernacle, and then later on, and when the temple was built, they were charged with the services in the temple, which, of course, was the house of God. And only priests could serve in the house of God, the tabernacle or temple. Only priest, only the priest that God had chosen, only the priest that God had appointed, only the priest that God had designated, only those who had been sanctified, set apart, and consecrated for that purpose. They're the only ones that could serve in the temple and tabernacle. No one else could. Now, one of the kings of Judah had to learn that lesson the hard way, King Uzziah. He also was known as King Azariah. But in the text we're going to look at, there's a priest by the name of Azariah. So his name Uzziah is used. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, but when he, that is King Uzziah, king of Judah, when he was strong in his heart, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated, sanctified to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You have no honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. He had a hard lesson to learn, but he simply should have followed God's way to begin with. So the service of the priest was for the priest, wasn't for anyone else. God had appointed, chosen, and designated them to serve in His temple, in His tabernacle. Well, in Christ, each Christian, being a priest, is charged with service in the house of God as well. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Note that. By Him, the Him under consideration is Christ. By or through Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. As priest under the law of Moses, offered sacrifice. Priest under Christ offers sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good, that is to do good deeds, and to share, that is, share beneficence with others, the ability that you have to give to others in need. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So these are services that we engage in. Christians are not to absent themselves from the house of the Lord, because that's where much of their service takes place to God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We are the house of God. Our assembly is the house of God. This building is not the house of God, but the assembly itself, the gathering together of ourselves, is the house of God. In the church, we offer up sacrifice to God. We serve as priests in the house of God. There's no greater reason to always assemble with the saints when we can than to take your place as a priest in the priesthood in the house of God. Amen. Each of us sings. Each of us takes instruction. Each of us prays. Each of us lays in store. Each of us partakes of the Lord's Supper. Each is his own priest in the house of God. Let's consider now, if we will, the garments of the priest. The garments of the priest. In Exodus 28 and verse 4, and these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. They shall make holy garments. So the priests are clothed in holy garments. In verse 40 of Exodus 28, for Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them. Hats are turbans or headbands. For glory and beauty, in Exodus 39 and verse 27 and following, they made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, and a sash of fine woven linen with purple and blue and scarlet thread, made by a weaver as the Lord had commanded Moses. So we see that the priests were outfitted in, you might say, special garments. Well, in Christ, as Christians, we're to be clothed in holy garments as well. We're to clothe ourselves in a very special way. In Colossians 3 and in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, no, since you were raised with Christ. You were raised with Christ from the watery grave of baptism. You are sanctified and consecrated. Your body has been, so to speak, purified. And so you need to put on holy garments. Now, your body was not really purified in baptism. Under the old law, it was a ceremonial purification. Their purification did not do anything with the taking away of sins. But our sins are taken away when we're purified, consecrated, or set apart to God. And then we put on holy garments. They were ceremonially purified and consecrated and set apart to God, and they put holy garments on after that. So since we have been raised with Christ from the watery grave of baptism, we're to put holy garments on as well. Colossians 3 and in verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That phrase, put on, means to put on as a garment. Of course, we clothe ourselves in these attitudes, in these virtues, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So priests today ought not to be difficult to identify. If they're wearing priestly garments, if they're wearing holy garments, they ought to be able to see who is in the priesthood. We're not talking about literal clothing here. We're talking about these virtues, of course, that shows ourselves to be true children of God. Yeah. Last of all, let us consider the offering of sacrifices. We mentioned this a little bit earlier. Remember, under the Levitical priesthood, the priest sacrificed bulls and goats and sometimes sheep and doves and even pigeons. But in Christ Jesus, as Christians today, as those who make up the priesthood, we offer sacrifices as well. Mentioned earlier, 1 Peter 2 and in verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. For what purpose? To, or in order to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We're not offering up a bull or a goat or a pigeon. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices. What are the spiritual sacrifices we offer up? Every time that we do that which God requires of us, just as every time the priest under the law of Moses did what God required of them, they offered up sacrifice. So do we. We offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Whether it be the praise of our lips, whether it be our giving, whether it be our singing, whether it be our praying, whether it be our good deeds, our works, our forgiving one another, it's all sacrifice that we offer up as part of the priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that in order that or so that you may proclaim the praises of Him. As a priesthood, we proclaim the praises of God who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So we offer up sacrifices. Christians are actually to sacrifice themselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We're to offer up ourselves, bodies here, but for the whole person. Our whole person, our whole being is to be given over to God as a living sacrifice. Now the word living sacrifice here has really nothing to do in contrast to the dead sacrifices that were offered under the law of Moses. Remember, under the law of Moses, live animals were not offered. Animals that were sacrificed were offered to God. That is, their life was taken from them. That was what was offered to God. But we're to offer a living sacrifice. We're to be living. We're to be active in our sacrifices offered up to God. It is our reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I said earlier, we offer the praise of our lips. Hebrews 13 and in verse 15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ is a sacrifice, the fruit of our lips offered up to the praise of God. And our giving, Our good deeds, do not forget to do good and to share. Do good, here's to do good deeds again. To share, that is to give to those who have need. Share financially with them if you're able. Are you a priest of God? If not, isn't it time that you become one? Isn't it time that you become a priest in the priesthood of Jesus Christ? Isn't it time that you become sanctified and consecrated to the service of God by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism? Isn't it time that you put on the garments of the priesthood of Christ? Clothe yourselves in humility and meekness, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave us. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one. That you would become part of the priesthood. None of us wear a certain kind of collar. All of us are priests in the kingdom of God. We're a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood, befitting that of a king. If you desire to be of such, obey the gospel this evening and become a Christian. If you're a Christian and you have sin in your life, if you're a priest who's committed sin, make a sacrifice for your sin. You can't make a bloody sacrifice, but you can repent of that sin. It's a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice. God calls upon us to make it. Repent of that sin, confess that sin. All that He calls upon us to do and engage in as the priest of God is a sacrifice. Make that sacrifice of repentance. Make that sacrifice of confession of sins. And we'll pray with you and for you and lift our voices up in praise to Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. If you're subject to the invitation, please come as we sing the song selected.